morning on WCHL. Chapel Hill has had four shootings so far this year. How does that stack up to the first half of 2013?
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling.
One number that is still on the rise is rabies here in Orange County.
Bats are going to be more active in the summer months.
And whatever happened to Occupy Chapel Hill, we'll tell you. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, Chapel Hill High School welcomes its new boys basketball coach, who brings with him 28 years of experience and a famous name. Plus, P.J. Harrison, once again, is going to be in the Tar Heel State, this time in the professional ranks. And Art will have more on that.
P.J. Histon took the long and winding road back to North Carolina.
That is this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL. We have 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 this morning in Carborough, also 72 in Hillsborough. Mostly cloudy day. 20% chance of rain early, then a bigger chance of rain later in the afternoon. High today about 88. While it may seem as though shootings in Chapel Hill this year have been more frequent, Chapel Hill Police Public Information Lieutenant Josh Misimore says that these numbers are actually no worse than last year.
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling, but I would suspect that they're probably along those same lines, 3 or 4 in a half-year period.
However, Lieutenant Misimore says that the severity of the shootings has been greater. Aside from the homicide that took place on Christopher Road back on May 30th, Lieutenant Misimore recalls the other 3 shootings.
There was one on West Rosemary Street and the 300 block, one on East Franklin Street and the 100 block, which was this past week, and then a robbery on Cotton Street where a gun was fired. I think only in one of the other ones this year that someone was actually hit, but in the other two, a gun was discharged either during an argument or in the one case during a robbery.
So far this calendar year, there have been 4 shootings. At this time last year, there were also 4 shootings. Orange County Animal Services is reporting the 15th positive test for rabies in our county. That number is going up, and it's only the middle of the year. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
The latest reported case of rabies in Orange County comes from Hillsborough, where a resident noticed that her 2 dogs were hovering over a certain spot in her backyard this past Monday. The subject of their interest turned out to be a bat. She brought the dogs inside the house and called Animal Services to have the bat removed. The bat was tested at North Carolina State Laboratory of Public Health and came up positive for rabies. Here's Orange County Animal Services Director Bob Morato.
It's the second rabies case we've had this year that does involve a bat. And bats are going to be more active in the summer months. And we know from our past experience, not only here in Orange County, but in North Carolina at large, that the number of potential rabies exposures involving bats climbs during the summer months.
11 of the other reported cases in Orange County involved raccoons, and the remaining 2 were a fox and a skunk, according to Morato. Reported cases of rabies have gone up since last year, when the total number was 12, the same as the year before. Fortunately, the 2 Hillsborough dogs that came in possible contact with the most recently reported rabid bat were up to date on their rabies vaccinations and only required booster shots within 5 days of the incident. Otherwise, the risk of rabies exposure would have made it legally mandatory for the dogs to either be destroyed or quarantined for 6 months.
For people, we want to be mindful that bats may be beneficial to our environment as insectivores and for other reasons, but they are rabies carriers, and if we have contact with a bat, we want to be absolutely positive to get medical care.
Morato adds that people who have come into contact with a bat may not even realize at first that they've been bitten because bat bites are so tiny. If you have any questions or suspected rabies cases to report, you can call Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387. A rabies vaccination clinic will take place from 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday at Piedmont Feed Center, located at 4805 NC Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. The cost for vaccinations is $10. Cash only. A link to the full clinic schedule is available in this story on our website, chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
If you're interested in going out there, then go out Highway 54 west of Carborough and just a few miles to Piedmont Feed Center. And that's where you'll find that low-cost rabies clinic. You may think it flamed out a few years ago, but make no mistake, Occupy Chapel Hill is still very much active. Supporters of the movement held a general assembly last night at 6:30 in front of the old post office on Franklin Street downtown, and regular events are ongoing. Jeff Gilson, a longtime supporter of Occupy Chapel Hill, describes himself as a worker and an advocate at Weaver Street Market, as well as being an aspiring pop star. He's also a blogger who posts regularly on orangepolitics.org. You might have heard a commentary from time to time here on WCHL from Jeff Gilson. He says the movement has changed quite a bit over the last 3 years, becoming more fragmented as it became clear that it's impossible to get the 99% to agree on very much of anything.
Occupy Chapel Hill did peter out. Across the country, Occupy had its moment of fury and encampments and people wanting to bring about immediate change, and that kind of petered out much as the winter of 2011 took over. Here in Chapel Hill, we sort of moved into Occupy Chapel Hill 2.0, and that has continued in two forms. There's a group called Occupy Health and Wellness, who hold regular meetings, and a group called Solidarity Economy, who wanted to map all of the sustainable economic entities in the area.
Jeff Gilson says one thing that all the different groups associated in some way with Occupy Chapel Hill can agree on is that impersonal corporate capitalism has failed us, that's a quote, and that more community-based economic and social agendas are more desirable. He suggests that instead of trying to exist as a solidified movement, Occupy Chapel Hill should become more of a clearinghouse for sharing ideas and support.
The idea I put forward is, why don't we do our own thing in our own group, where other people aren't trying to take over the agenda, and then meet on an irregular basis and use Occupy Chapel Hill as a clearinghouse for information, communication. And if we find common cause in something, then pursue that.
Occupy Chapel Hill activities continue today with a regular vigil for peace and justice with the Society of Friends in the corner of Elliott Road and East Franklin Street beginning at 4:30. To view a full calendar of Occupy Chapel Hill events, you can visit OccupyChapelHill.org. Duke Energy plans to charge residential customers more in order to establish new renewable energy sources such as solar panels across the state. Spokesperson for Duke Energy, Lisa Parrish, explains the charges and the changes and how much more customers may be paying.
Right now, the average residential customer for Duke Energy Carolina is using about 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity, pays about 4 cents a month to comply with the new renewable energy portfolio standards. The new rider asked them to pay 39 cents, so that's an increase of 35 cents. Duke Energy Progress customers using 1,000 kilowatt hours, they're currently paying 20 cents, and that changes to 83 cents.
Parrish says these new charges have to be made in order to comply with new North Carolina laws that dictate energy costs and where they must be placed for customers.
Think about it like this. You divide the pie, the renewable energy pie, into three pieces. The size of those pieces are dictated by the North Carolina energy law. So more than half the pie, about 59%, is paid for by residential customers, 36% is paid for by commercial customers, and about 5% is paid for by industrial customers. Each of these slices is in proportion to the cost caps set by the North Carolina energy law. The legislation tells us what we can charge these customer classes and tells us they must be in proportion to the cost.
They're waiting for permission from the Utilities Commission. These new charges are set to go into effect in December of this year. State officials are ordering Duke Energy to address piping systems and dams at 6 coal ash impoundments across the state. The North Carolina Division of Energy, Mineral, and Land Resources yesterday issued 4 notices for leaks and other structural concerns. Problems were discovered at the utilities' power plants in Chatham, Person, and Rockingham counties. Duke Energy was ordered to provide a schedule for repairing the piping systems within 30 days. The state also told Duke Energy to provide engineering assessments for piping systems and impoundment dams where inspectors noticed smaller leaks or concerns. The letters target the Chatham, Stokes, and Person facilities, as well as Wayne County. Division Director Tracy Davis says none of the leaks or other concerns poses an imminent threat to the structural integrity of those dams. North Carolina lawmakers have given preliminary approval to legislation that would prevent prisoners from using cell phones and make it easier for state crime laboratory workers to testify. The State House approved legislation yesterday making several changes to criminal justice laws, particularly by raising several penalties, making them stronger. The bill would increase the punishment for smuggling a cell phone into a prisoner and makes it a crime for a prisoner to possess one. Now, prisoners are only subject to administrative penalties. The changes are in response to the kidnapping of the father of an assistant Wake County prosecutor. Authorities say the crime was initiated by an imprisoned gang member. The measure also allows forensic analysts to testify remotely by video. Supporters say that will give lab workers more time to actually work on solving crimes. WCHL News Time, 8:14. It is time now for Traffic and Weather Together. And this traffic report is brought to you this morning by Grimble Jewelers. Well, not a lot of problems this morning. Everything moving along fairly well, fairly smoothly. Some of the usual congestion beginning to build up on I-40, certainly. But nothing really out of the ordinary this morning. Listen, if you spot something that we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom. You can talk to the inimitable Rand Northam back there, 919-967-8363, and he'll pass along the word. You can become a WCHL Road Warrior. You can also tweet us at WCHL, but whatever you do, please do that safely. Grimble Jewelers is the place where you can get the best jewelry in the world, and you can go talk to Berkeley Grimble anytime. They're Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler. Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road. They're right next door to Whole Foods, so very easy to find. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver Weather brought to you by Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. 73 degrees, mostly cloudy today. Slight chance of rain this morning, and then a bigger chance of a shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon, about a 40% chance. High today about 88. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 70. Still a 40% chance of rain. On Saturday, a cloudy day, 50-50 chance of rain with a high of 85. Saturday night, cloudy, 50-50 chance of rain with a low of about 68. And then on Sunday, mostly cloudy and not as big a chance of rain, only a 20% chance in the afternoon, and our high on Sunday in the middle 80s.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
Time now for news around town on WCHL. You heard our news story just a few minutes ago about rabies cases in Orange County. Another one reported yesterday. Orange County Animal Services Department is offering another low-cost rabies vaccination clinic tomorrow from 9 until noon at the Piedmont Feed Center. For only $10, cash only, you can have your animals vaccinated for a year. Bring your dogs in a leash or cats in individual carriers. If you'd like more information, visit orangecountync.gov/animalservices. Piedmont Feed Center, in case you're wondering, is located at 4805 Highway 54 West. That's just beyond Orange Grove Road. Drive out there. Nice drive. It's west of Carborough. Early this month, the Owosso Board adopted its budget for the next fiscal year. And good news for Owosso customers, the third year in a row, as we reported, there will not be an increase in monthly fees. And you can head to the Arts Center on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for the Summertime and the Reading is Easy book fair. Summertime and the living is easy. Author John Claude Bemis will be there to host the event. Several other local authors will be on hand to read excerpts from their books. There will also be music, poetry, kids' activities, a chance to produce your own creative writing with the help of poet Pam Taylor. And 10% of book sales at the fair will go to benefit the Art Center's program. Go to artcenterlive.org to find out more, or you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. 8:17 at WCHL. Let's go ahead and get started with WCHL Championship Sports. P.J. Hairston got drafted last night. We'll tell you all about that coming up. But first, Chapel Hill High School boys basketball team is introducing a new head coach. His name is Bill Walton. No, not that guy from UCLA and the NBA. But this Walton is a 28-year veteran of the game. WCHL's Matt Oaks had the opportunity to sit down with Coach Walton on Thursday and has more on the story of this new coach at Chapel Hill High School.
I reached out to his folks and I said, it's Coach Bill Walton. She was like, really? Coach Bill Walton? I said, really? She said, wow. She said, I don't know about him going over there now. I was like, what are you talking about, ma'am? She's like, I didn't realize Coach Bill Walton was there at Grimsley High School. I said, ma'am, I'm not the 7-footer. I've got a tan.
That was freshly minted Chapel Hill High head basketball coach Bill Walton. But all jokes aside, this Coach Walton is a Virginia boy who grew up in Roanoke and later attended James Madison University. It didn't take long for Walton to make his way down to North Carolina. He took a job as assistant coach at Greensboro Grimsley in 1989. In 1992, Walton says a firestorm broke out involving the head coach and a black student in a PE class. But Walton is proud of how the team responded from the incident.
He was accused of choking and assaulting a kid in his class, in his PE class. Robin happened to be white, kid happened to be black, and you can only imagine, like in a city like this, in a city like Greensboro, all the complexities of that case. And anyway, it was a trying time for everybody. At any rate, we endured. I got the team together, got the community together, had a terrific season.
That was how Walton first assumed a head coaching position. He stayed at Grimsley until 2002, spent a few years at Southwest Guilford, and then wound up at Reidsville High, located in the hometown of his wife, where he went 145-72, including a 26-4 season and a run to the NCHSAA 2A East Region Finals in 2012. For health reasons, citing tension headaches, Coach Walton says he was advised to step aside by the Reidsville principal. He reluctantly obliged, but says he is not taking any medications for the headaches.
When you've been around as long as I have, you just stick with it. This one of those things you don't tell your kids that. You start what you finish. You finish what you start, in other words. And I thought about it. I talked about it all with my family and stuff, and I said, okay. I didn't want to be a distraction to the kids. So reluctantly, I stepped aside.
Coach Walton says the Chapel Hill job was at the top of his prospect list due to the attractive community and the plethora of basketball camps and facilities located in the region known nationwide for its high-level basketball. Former Chapel Hill High head coach Layson Perkins was surprisingly let go from his interim position. It was an unpopular decision by many players and assistant coaches. Coach Walton says he understands the situation, empathizes with Coach Perkins and his staff, but is ready to do his job.
Sure, it's frustrating. Do I understand? Yes. Have no idea what happened with the process. There was an opening, as we just described. I applied, interviewed, I was offered the job, fellas.
In addition, Coach Walton says he's been reaching out to members of the previous staff to forge friendly relationships. When asked about the added pressures and expectations of the Chapel Hill job, Coach Walton says he relishes the opportunity ahead and thrives in those situations. In fact, he says he expects a breakout season next year.
Looking at the roster and the people coming back, I'm looking forward to a really good year. Perhaps maybe the best year they've had here in 5 or 6 years.
And for Tar Heel fans, there's another perk to having Coach Walton in town stalking the sidelines for the Tigers. He says he plays Carolina-style basketball.
We're a lot like Carolina. Everything we do is Carolina. We run Carolina fast break, number fast break. We try to diagonally kick the ball up just like you see them do. We do that very well. That's something we did very well in all the schools I've been at. We run that Carolina secondary break, both phases of it. And we still just call it Carolina. We're going to the floor and we're running Carolina.
Looks like Coach Walton has come to the right place. If he ever needs any advice on running the Carolina, UNC head coach Roy Williams will be just down the street. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
That tradition of Carolina helping out Chapel Hill High School goes back a long way. I remember when Dean Smith was the coach of Carolina, he really had Ken Miller borrow a lot of his ideas and copy a lot of the things that UNC did. Ken Miller used to watch every practice he could and spend time with Coach Smith when he could. And the tradition actually probably goes back a lot longer than that. I just don't know about it. But that was something that has happened a long time. I'm sure Roy will be glad to provide all the help he can. And it looks like P.J. Harrison's going to be back in North Carolina. And it happened by way of a trade last night. He was actually drafted by the Miami Heat, number 26 in the NBA draft, first round. And then that trade was took place between the Miami Heat and the Charlotte Hornets. Michael Jordan must have worked hard to make that happen. And they had a trade there. P.J. Harrison's going to be coming to the Charlotte Hornets. And he'll be wearing that purple and teal and whatever colors they have this year. So that's going to be kind of exciting. Art Chansky will have more on that right now on P.J. Harrison and what he brings to the NBA.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
P.J. Harrison took the long and winding road back to North Carolina. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. How about how things turned out for suspended Tar Heel P.J. Hairston, who was the 26th pick in the NBA draft Thursday night by the Miami Heat, and then traded to Charlotte, where he will get a chance to finish the story he started in Chapel Hill. Roy Williams said he was ecstatic that life has given P.J. another chance, and that chance will come in his college and home state and playing for former Tar Heel icon Michael Jordan. Hairston became the first player ever drafted in the first round from the NBA Developmental League, where he wound up after his off-court transgressions cost him what would have been his junior year at Carolina. Now the story that gripped Tar Heel basketball for most of last season has the chance for a happy ending. We get to see Hairston play for the newly renamed Hornets, and he gets to play less than 100 miles from his hometown in Greensboro. As a first-round pick, Hairston goes from a hardscrabble life to instant millionaire. But now he must prove he is capable of making the right decisions on and off the court so that rookie contract turns into lifetime security through a long stay in the NBA. That PJ will be playing in his home state means some of the bad influences that derailed his college career will still be hovering around him. So he has to take this second chance and run with it down the straight and narrow. As a player, Hairston is a prototype pro, great outside scorer with NBA range and a shooter's mentality. He has a pro body and a toughness that should make his next step easier than most rookies. More unheralded than the other Tar Heels who have been drafted in four of the previous 5 years, Hairston has a better opportunity and more upside than most of his fellow first-rounders because of the hunger and determination he has to go along with that ability. After UNC chose not to seek his reinstatement from the NCAA, Hairston left town quickly and began looking ahead, not behind. He joined the Texas Legends of the D-League and quickly proved he was the best NBA prospect among the dozens of players trying to get up to or back to the big show. His no-nonsense approach made it seem like he had little remorse for his actions in college, but I read it as the steely focus of a kid who knew he had to move on to get another chance. A poster child for all the troubles the Carolina Athletic Department has had, he can now paint a much prettier picture for himself and his legacy. He doesn't have to be warm and fuzzy or even friendly about it. He just has to go out there and do it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. Join me at Keenan Stadium on Friday, July 4th, for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions, the Town of Chapel Hill's July 4th Celebration. Performing live at 7:30 p.m., the Triangle's very own Bull City Syndicate, plus a 4th of July fireworks extravaganza at 9:30. Gates open at 7. Get there early for DSI Comedy Theater's July 4th Watermelon Eating Contest. I'll be there as your master of ceremonies. Donations encouraged at the gate. For more info, log on to townofchapelhill.org/July4.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
Another veteran agent at Weaver Street Realty in Carborough is Bill Mullen.
Well, my slogan is actually, have boots, will travel. I will put on my boots and go show land because that's what I love to do.
Being a part of the Muddy Boots land team, what exactly does that mean?
We show a lot of land. We sell a lot of properties out in Orange and Chatham and Alamance counties. And we like to go out and show properties and walk in the mud and find the boundary lines, look for great places to build a house or places to put your septic tank or your well. Which features of the property are interesting, like great big trees or rock outcroppings or creeks. So we just like to get a feel for the property and see what it's about, what it has to offer.
Bill Mullen wants his customers to know everything they can possibly know about the property they're getting.
Yeah, I think it's very important to know all the aspects of the property, what it has to offer. Best to go in the wintertime when the leaves are off the trees and you can actually see the topography and what surrounds it. I think it's important to let the buyer know that they're going to have to put in a driveway and find a place for the septic system and the well and where the best place to build the house was to take advantage of the views and what the property has to offer.
Get in touch with Bill Mullen at Weaver Street Realty.
We're on Main Street in Carborough, not Weaver Street. It's at 116 East Main Street, and it's right across the street from Carmel Mall. You can contact us at www.weaverstreetrealty.com or just call us at 929-5658. We'll be glad to help you out.
For all your local real estate needs, especially when it comes to property, get in touch with Bill Mullen and the Muddy Boots team at Weaver Street Realty in Carborough.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insights.
828 at WCHL.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications?
Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that Dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
This is Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, and I'm here with Tom McGarvey, an expert in commercial and business insurance with 12 years of experience.
Thanks, Mark. Commercial can be a very complex line of insurance, covering liability, auto, property, and workers' comp. I can make sure you have the right coverages at a fair price, and most importantly, we offer outstanding service for our clients. Call me, Tom McGarvey, at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 Fordham Boulevard for a free consultation.
Flavor and freshness go hand in hand. That's why Jersey Mike's fresh slices each and every sub to order. Never pre-sliced or pre-packaged, Jersey Mike's subs are made the authentic way, sliced right in front of you and piled high with fresh toppings. You'll taste the freshness and flavor. Be your healthiest you by choosing Jersey Mike's subs for lunch or dinner. Order online at jerseymikesubs.com or call us at 919-918-SUBS.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off, a $140 summer air conditioning checkup available today for only $39. Summer is really here and your AC has been running for months. Cool it off and check it out with today's Our Local Deal. Carolina Air Conditioning has been in the HVAC business since 1947. Their certified specialist will provide you with a 5-star 26-point heating and cooling checkup. It's 72% off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Jones Angel.
I think you sound younger on FM, Ron. Do you think this is the case, too? I think you sound like a young man.
Well, thank you, Jones. I appreciate that. It is 8:30 at WCHL. Time now for your Chapel Hill cover of weather, brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. It is 74 degrees right now, mostly cloudy all day. Slight chance of rain this morning, then a 40% chance of a shower or a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Another warm one, high today about 88 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 40% chance of rain, low 70. On Saturday, 50-50 chance of rain with a high of 85 degrees. Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
Yes, news update. I'm Dave Barrett. $500 million to equip and train Syrian rebels. That's what the Obama administration wants from Congress, and it's not a simple mission to assist those rebels, according to Jeff McCausland, a retired Army colonel and a CBS military consultant.
It's taking a significant period of time because, again, we have to get the concurrence of somebody who's going to host the training. Second of all, we've got to be able, once again, to identify who are the moderate groups, and that has always been the problem because of the lack of unity. The Free Syrian Army is notably the one group that we have talked about, but they have demonstrated great lack of unity.
Retired Army Major Mike Lyons, another CBS consultant, says terrorists operating in the region could wind up with some of this aid.
It could only cause ISIS to try to capture some of these weapons. Adding more weapons to the battlefield could actually make the situation worse.
Speaking of weapons, David Martin says armed U.S. Predator drones are flying over Baghdad to protect the U.S. embassy. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
832, 74 degrees in Chapel Hill, 73 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. While it may seem as though shootings here in Chapel Hill this year have been more frequent, Chapel Hill Police, a public information officer, Josh Misamore, says these numbers are no worse than last year, actually.
I don't know that there have been any great changes in how we're patrolling, but I would suspect that they're probably along those same lines, three or four in a half-year period.
However, Lieutenant Misamore says that the severity of the shootings has been greater. Aside from the homicide that took place on Christopher Road back on May 30th, Lieutenant Misamore recalls the other three shootings.
There was one on West Rosemary Street, in the 300 block, one on East Franklin Street in the 100 block, which was this past week, and then a robbery on Cotton Street where a gun was fired. I think only in one of the other ones this year that someone was actually hit, but in the other two, a gun was discharged either during an argument or in the one case during a robbery.
So far in 2014, there have been four shootings. This time last year, also four shootings. Orange County Animal Services is reporting one number that is definitely going up. The 15th positive test for rabies in the county so far this year. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
The latest reported case of rabies in Orange County comes from Hillsboro, where a resident noticed that her two dogs were hovering over a certain spot in her backyard this past Monday. The subject of their interest turned out to be a bat. She brought the dogs inside the house and called Animal Services to have the bat removed. The bat was tested at North Carolina State Laboratory of Public Health and came up positive for rabies. Here's Orange County Animal Services Director Bob Morato.
It's the second rabies case we've had this year that does involve a bat. And bats are going to be more active in the summer months. And we know from our past experience, not only here in Orange County, but in North Carolina at large, that the number of potential rabies exposures involving bats climbs during the summer months.
11 of the other reported cases in Orange County involved raccoons, and the remaining two were a fox and a skunk, according to Morato. Reported cases of rabies have gone up since last year, when the total number was 12, the same as the year before. Fortunately, the two Hillsboro dogs that came in possible contact with the most recently reported rabid bat were up to date on their rabies vaccinations and only required booster shots within 5 days of the incident. Otherwise, the risk of rabies exposure would have made it legally mandatory for the dogs to either be destroyed or quarantined for 6 months.
For people, we want to be mindful that bats may be beneficial to our environment as insectivores and for other reasons, but they are rabies carriers, and if we have contact with a bat, we want to be absolutely positive to get medical care.
Morato adds that people who have come into contact with a bat may not even realize at first that they've been bitten because bat bites are so tiny. If you have any questions or suspected rabies cases to report, you can call Orange County Animal Services at 919-942-7387. A rabies vaccination clinic will take place from 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday at Piedmont Feed Center, located at 4805 NC Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill. The cost for vaccinations is $10. Cash only. A link to the full clinic schedule is available in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
You may think it flamed out and went away a few years ago. It certainly hasn't been front page news lately, but make no mistake, Occupy Chapel Hill is very much alive. Supporters of the movement held a general assembly last evening at 6:30 p.m. in front of the old post office on Franklin Street downtown, and regular events are ongoing. Jeff Gilson, a longtime supporter of Occupy Chapel Hill, describes himself as a worker and advocate at Weaver Street Market, as well as being an aspiring pop star. He's also a blogger who posts regularly on orangepolitics.org, and you may have heard a commentary from time to time right here on WCHL. Gilson says the movement has changed quite a bit over the last 3 years, becoming more fragmented as it became clear that it's really impossible to get the 99% to agree on very much of anything.
Occupy Chapel Hill did peter out. Across the country, Occupy had its moments of fury and encampments and people wanting to bring about immediate change, and that kind of petered out much as the winter of 2011 took over. Here in Chapel Hill, we sort of moved into Occupy Chapel Hill 2.0, and that has continued in two forms. There's a group called Occupy Health and Wellness, who hold regular meetings, and a group called Solidarity Economy, who wanted to map all of the sustainable economic entities in the area.
Once again, that is Jeff Gilson. He says the one thing that all the different groups associated in some way with Occupy Chapel Hill can agree on is that impersonal corporate capitalism has failed us. That's a quote. And that more community-based economic and social agendas are more desirable. Gilson suggests that instead of trying to exist as a solidified movement, Occupy Chapel Hill ought to become more of a clearinghouse for sharing ideas and support.
The idea I put forward is, why don't we do our own thing in our own group, where other people aren't trying to take over the agenda, and then meet on an irregular basis and use Occupy Chapel Hill as a clearinghouse for information, communication, And if we find common cause in something, then pursue that.
Occupy Chapel Hill activities continue today with a regular vigil for peace and justice with the Society of Friends on the corner of Elliott Road and East Franklin beginning at 4:30 this afternoon. To view a full calendar of Occupy Chapel Hill events, you can visit OccupyChapelHill.org. Duke Energy plans to charge residential customers more in order to establish new renewable energy sources, such as solar panels, across North Carolina. Spokesperson for Duke Energy, Lisa Parrish, explains the charges and how much more customers may be paying.
Right now, the average residential customer for Duke Energy Carolina is using about 1,000 kilowatt hours of electricity, pays about 4 cents a month to comply with the new renewable energy portfolio standards. The new rider asked them to pay 39 cents, so that's an increase of 35 cents. Duke Energy Progress customers using 1,000 kilowatt hours, they're currently paying 20 cents, and that changes to 83 cents.
Parrish tells WCHL these new charges have to be made in order to comply with new North Carolina laws that dictate energy cost and where they have to be placed for customers.
Think about it like this. You divide the pie, the renewable energy pie, into three pieces. The size of those pieces are dictated by the North Carolina energy law. So more than half the pie, about 59%, is paid for by residential customers, 36% is paid for by commercial customers, and about 5% is paid for by industrial customers. Each of these slices is in proportion to the cost caps set by the North Carolina energy law. The legislation tells us what we can charge these customer classes and tells us they must be in proportion to the cost.
Awaiting permission from the Utilities Commission, those new charges are set to go into effect in December of this year. WCHL News Time is 8:39. Still to come, a commentary on the way from Raleigh, Mann, who says we need another stoplight at the corner of Martin Luther King Boulevard and Stateside Drive. And in addition to that, we have what you're saying in the street, talk about the World Cup. And we have today's WCHL Hometown Hero coming up later on in the hour. And you'll also hear from D.G. Martin.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Hello, this is Tony Hall of Tony Hall & Associates. I'm thrilled to see the real estate market so lively again. More buyers are buying, more sellers are selling, and we need more listings. If we can assist you, please call today, 919-933-8500, or visit us on the internet, TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, I've got two teenagers, so...
So you want to save money?
Desperately.
Well, AT&T's best ever pricing for families gives you 10 gigabytes of data to share and unlimited talk and text on four lines, all for $160 a month with the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network. Now, do your teens download much?
Obsessively.
Do they talk and text a lot?
Constantly.
You also get a $100 bill credit for every line. There's even plans for up to 10 lines. Sound good?
Insanely.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Get the new curved LG G Flex smartphone with 6-inch HD screen for immersive cinematic viewing and exceptional voice and sound. Visit store or att.com for details.
Pricing is for four phones on AT&T mobile share value with no annual contract. Credit offer ends April 30th. Activate new line and remain in good standing to receive credit within 3 months. Other charges and restrictions apply. Reliability claim based on analysis of independent third-party data regarding national carriers for 4G LTE.
Hi, this is Ron Stutz. Join me at Keenan Stadium on Friday, July 4th, for one of Chapel Hill's brightest traditions, the Town of Chapel Hill's July 4th Celebration. Performing live at 7:30 p.m., the Triangle's very own Bull City Syndicate, plus a 4th of July fireworks extravaganza at 9:30. Gates open at 7. Get there early for DSI Comedy Theater's July 4th Watermelon Eating Contest. I'll be there as your master of ceremonies. Donations encouraged at the gate. For more info, log on to townofchapelhill.org/July4.
This is Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:42 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Godwin, chapelborough.com.
Thank you.
Is here. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That is the sound of one person clapping.
It's better than no people clapping.
Just because I'm the only one in the room.
That's right.
Yeah. You can't clap for yourself, I guess. So I guess you could. But I know that you are sitting leisurely in the very plush and comfortable Twitter chair at the Twitter desk. And I know that folks are tweeting about a lot of stuff right now.
Yes.
What are they tweeting about?
Well, everybody sends their congratulations to P.J. Hairston and James Mike. I mean, just P.J. Hairston. James Michael McAdoo, best of luck.
Yeah.
But P.J. Hairston is a Hornet now, which is hopefully a good thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not another just attempt to get Carolina fan tickets sold. But they do need a score in the backcourt, so...
Well, they sure do, and I hope that young man turns it around and realizes, I'm sure he realizes his mistakes, and, you know, it might turn out to be a really good acquisition because the man can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, he was killing it in the D-League, and
yeah.
I'll take anybody who can score. He scored 50 a couple times, I think.
Well, he scored 40 twice in his first week in the D-League, which is amazing.
I'm sure that'll translate directly to the NBA. And
yeah, I think it will.
I hope so.
He's a big, strong guy. He's I think he's going to be a good NBA player for a long time.
Yeah.
You know. What else?
Well, a fun trend, thanks to the world of the internet we have now. The movie Frozen, did you see that?
No, I have not.
It's really good. I love musicals, and it's a great musical. And it was incredibly popular. And now, apparently, lots of people are naming their kids Elsa after the main character.
Really?
It's jumped 243 spots in the girls' name rankings.
Hmm.
And it's apparently a pretty common trend to name kids after Disney princesses. There's big spikes after the name Ariel after Little Mermaid came out, Belle after Beauty and the Beast came out, Wendy after Peter Pan came out, which something I learned recently, I was reading the book Peter Pan, and the name Wendy was invented for that book. It wasn't a name until... She just invented it for the book.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So even Mulan had a little spike, although not a whole lot. Jasmine from Aladdin.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know. Maybe if I have a son, I can name him Aladdin. And I can have a daughter and name her Jasmine.
Well, I remember when we named our son Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Not spelled the same way that you do yours.
But, right.
It was really rare. Back then.
Yeah, that's how I got my name as well.
Yeah.
My parents wanted to pick something that nobody had, and now
exactly.
And everybody was thinking that.
Now everybody's named Zach.
In that time.
Anyway, I hate to say this, but you're going away, and this is your last time on here.
Yes, this is my last comfortable seat in the Twitter desk.
Mm. Don't take that chair with you now. Okay?
I'll leave the chair. It's company property.
Yeah. Folks are wondering right now what's going to happen at chapelbro.com.
Chapelbro.com will be in the wonderful hands of Akiva Fox, who's been running our content for a while now, and I'm very excited to leave it in his hands. He does great work. He's got a great vision for where to take this thing, and it's just going to continue to grow. Hopefully, you've seen our new video series, A Taste of Orange, where the first one we covered Mediterranean Deli, and they've just got a great story. Alex Curley helped us with that. He did all the videography, the editing, and it's just a beautiful thing. Check it out. It just looks fantastic.
Yeah.
And Chapel Burrow is just going to keep growing. I know it's just in great hands.
Well, I want to say good luck to you in your next venture. And
thank you.
It's been fun having you around here.
Absolutely. I'll miss the chair. I'll miss talking with you. I'll miss it all.
You'll miss all the camaraderie and all the fun we had, right?
Absolutely.
Well, listen, take care, and thanks a lot. And if folks want to tweet us, how do they do that?
Just at Chapelbro or at WCHL.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, round of applause, Zach
Thank
Godwin.
You all. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. It's 8:47 at WCHL, and now time for today's commentary from Raleigh Mann.
And now WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Last week, the Chapel Hill Planning Board unanimously approved the rezoning request of some folks who want to convert the house next door to us into a place where Muslims may gather for prayer. Betsy and I wanted to be at this meeting to support this project, which we see as an opportunity for our community to demonstrate its commitment to diversity and acceptance of all people, even those whose faith is different from ours. especially them. We rejoice that our new friends now may move forward toward realizing their dream. Their faith requires them to stop whatever they're doing for prayer 5 times every day. Think of it. This small group has worked long and hard to create this home in Chapel Hill so they won't have to travel several miles to do that. But this commentary is about something else that came up in the discussions at this planning board meeting. Why is there no traffic light at Stateside Drive and Martin Luther King Boulevard? Predictably, many will point out that there are already too many traffic lights interrupting traffic flow on this busy road that's both a state highway and an important local street. Someone in the know once told me that the State Department of Transportation would consider putting a light at Stateside Drive if we who want one would agree to raise the speed limit on MLK from 35 to 45 miles per hour. Is he kidding? Anyone driving at 35 on that road is likely to get run over by everyone else, who are all driving much faster than that. This is the same DOT that promised us a 24-foot wide median when MLK was widened to 4 lanes. That would have provided a safe haven at midpoint for drivers attempting to turn left on MLK, but that wide median never happened. Neither, I predict, will that traffic light, as badly as it is needed. Nearly 300 families living in the North Forest Hills area need to get onto this busy boulevard on a regular basis, and we who live near the corner will continue to hear that screech thump of those who dare to take their lives in their hands trying to turn left and join the speeding traffic. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
75 degrees, 849 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
At the top of any list about the best baseball movies, you'll find two of them with close connections to Chapel Hill and Durham. Bull Durham, of course, set in the old Durham Ballpark. The other one is Field of Dreams, which you may remember just celebrated its 25th anniversary out in Iowa where the movie was set. So you ask, well, how are we connected to that one? Well, maybe you remember how Kevin Costner's character built a baseball field that gave the ghost of former baseball players a chance to play again. One of them, Moonlight Graham, had played only an inning or two in one Major League Baseball game and never got an at-bat. Later, he became a small-town doctor. And then on the Field of Dreams, he got a chance to bat against a Major League pitcher. And he hit a sacrifice fly that scored a run. And then in a memorable scene, he lost the chance to continue playing when he crossed a line. And he lost his baseball player, and he became a doctor again and used his doctor's skill to save a little girl who was in danger of dying. A poignant moment. But there was another poignant moment when in the film, Doc Graham was asked if it was a tragedy for his major league career to have lasted only 5 minutes. And the movie character Doc Graham, played by Burt Lancaster, answered, "Son, if I'd only got to be a doctor for 5 minutes, now that would have been a tragedy." Well, the real Moonlight Graham was Dr. Archibald Graham, and he grew up in Fayetteville in Charlotte, and he played baseball for Carolina in the early 1900s. He continued his studies and college sports and combined them with professional baseball. And then he juggled medical training with baseball, hoping for a chance in the majors, which he got only that one time, but it was on June 29th, 1905, when he played for a few minutes for the New York Giants. Well, even though Archie Graham left our state to play professional baseball and then to practice medicine in Minnesota, North Carolina owes him a big debt. When one of our state's future great leaders became ill in 1916, he went out to Minnesota for several months where his brother, Dr. Archie Graham, supervised his recovery. The patient was Dr. Graham's younger brother, Frank Porter Graham, later the president of the University of North Carolina and, of course, a United States senator. When that season with his brother was over, Frank Graham had recovered sufficiently in eyesight and in spirits to gain admittance to the Marine Corps, which was his goal, and then after the war to resume his productive life at Carolina. Just how different Carolina and the state of North Carolina would have been without Frank Graham's presence is something we cannot know for sure, but no one doubts that we are different and better as a result of his leadership and example. But if it had not been for his brother, Frank Graham might never have found his way back to UNC or to North Carolina. So, this weekend, on June 29th, take a minute to remember Doc Graham on the anniversary of his one-day Major League career. This is D.G. Martin.
All right, D.G., thank you so much. 853 at WCHL.
The world's best new short plays come to Carrboro.
The 13th annual 10x10 in the Triangle Festival of New Short Plays.
The best 10 selected from more than 750 entries.
10 actors, 10 directors, 10 minutes, 10x10.
At the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, weekends July 11th through 27th, 919-929-2787 or artcenterlive.org.
See you at the Arts Center for 10x10 in the Triangle.
This is Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, and I'm here with Teresa Brent, our expert in young drivers insurance.
Thanks, Mark. We are currently offering some of the lowest rates in the state for young drivers. But more importantly, we can ensure that you have the most comprehensive coverage for your son or daughter in case of any tragedy. You can call me, Teresa Brent, at 919-933-4000 or stop by Nationwide Square at 1289 Fordham Boulevard for a free consultation.
At Best Tile, we are a local store with a global selection. Local, as we are a family business conveniently located just down the road at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, where our team of in-house designers are ready to assist in finding the tile and stone that's right for you. And global, as we are one of the largest importers of tile and stone in the nation, with a focus on premier products from countries like Spain, Italy, and the U.S., where you are assured products are created responsibly. Local store, global selection, Best Tile. Stop by and see us on Garrett Road or find us online at besttile.com.
Hi, I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
All right, thank you, Don. It is 855 at WCHL. You remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond, rather unusual word today. Call me right now, 919-929-WCHL. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you know the word, if you can spell it, and if you can define it.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service is demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Richard Tofte is an extraordinary volunteer, and he does his volunteer work through the RSVP program at the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill.
It's like family here. The staff, the people at work here, we all have specific goals and are working as a team no matter what it is.
Richard Tofte is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
I work at special events for Central Orange, and at the Seymour Center I work for front desk, primetime players, special events, special projects, program advisory committee, and Toys for Tots program.
Like so many other wonderful people, Richard Tofte retired to North Carolina, and we're glad he did.
Everybody told me the weather down here was beautiful, and I live in Pershing County. A friend of mine asked me if I would go down to the writers group when they were in the old Elliott Road, and I went down there, and I fell in love with what they were doing, the people that worked, volunteered. Then when they built this building here in the Seymour Center, I said, no, this is for me. This is family.
Everybody who ever goes to the senior center loves Richard Tofte. One of the reasons is he makes them laugh.
I've always grown up with, maybe you can relate to this, burlesque comedy. And I try to make people laugh and make jokes out of things that nobody else would do. I get in trouble sometimes for that, but I like to make people laugh, entertain people, and be courteous to them.
Robin Balin overheard our conversation at the senior center and just had to jump in and sing Richard's praises.
is.
I just want to say that he's remarkable. He's volunteered over 1,000 hours just this year alone. He steps up to the plate for anything, like anything that we ever need help with. Richard is there for us. He looks for the loners at the center, anyone who really doesn't know what they should be doing or what they want to do. And Richard takes care of them. He gets them involved with everything. He's like our ambassador. I'm the facility manager, and I've been working with Richard, and he's just wonderful.
Richard Tofte is practically a walking billboard for the RSVP program and the Seymour Senior Center.
We want to bring as many people as we can, because there's a lot of people that just, when they get old, they just isolate themselves. We want to reach a lot of people in a lot of areas and see if we can get them here and keep them here.
It's a wonderful facility.
Yes, it is.
Richard Tofte, today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Hey, congratulations to Dan Murphy of Chapel Hill Coalition with the word of the day. It is from Wayne Pond, sexennial. Let me try that again. Sexennial. S-E-X-E-N-N-I-A-L. It doesn't mean it has anything to do with sex. It happens every 6 years, something that happens every 6 years. Or maybe it does have something to do with sex. I don't know. 8:59 at WCHL. Good morning.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Air Conditioning Company. It's 72% off a $140 summer air conditioning checkup, available today for only $39. Summer is really here, and your AC has been running for months. Cool it off and check it out with today's Our Local Deal. Carolina Air Conditioning has been in the HVAC business since 1947. Their certified specialist will provide you with a 5-star, 26-point heating and cooling checkup. It's 72% off from Carolina Air Conditioning Company, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
75 degrees in Chapel Hill, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of rain this morning, the 40% chance of a shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high today in the upper 80s, pretty much the same all weekend. You have a good weekend. It's 9 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. One of the most powerful men in Iraq is stepping up his criticism of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. Reporting from Baghdad, CBS's Charlie Daggett tells us the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani faults Maliki for not putting down the Sunni uprising that threatens to split the country apart.
What he said is, in essence, that Maliki isn't capable of holding together this government, and he's asked for a sort of more broad coalition government in order to solve the crisis here.
The Ayatollah wants political leaders to come up with a candidate for prime minister before parliament meets next Tuesday. CBS News correspondent David Martin tells us the Pentagon has started flying armed Predator drones over Baghdad to protect the American embassy. Those flights don't signal the start of an air campaign against the insurgents. President Obama wants Congress to spend $500 million arming and training moderate Syrian rebel groups. He believes it's possible to tell them